Log Talk Radio.
I'm asking that you trust me now. David Omega next to the
No! Better means an early payday.
We're going back to the New Bethel Baptist Church. To the days of this recording. Produced by great Reverend James Cleveland, one of my mentors on the piano. Come on in. However, I traveled with my dad, singing in all of the arenas across the country, in small churches and city auditoriums.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. This is Brother Calvin, and welcome to the Seed of Abraham Network. With that...
Oh, Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the sweetest name.
Sweetest name. I know.
Come on and lift your hands and say
it. It is the sweetest name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No.
The power that I feel. Oh. When I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
yeah, the Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. I need something. Yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
About
oh, I realize
it is
a sweet
name.
Oh,
I know.
I gotta be honest with you. I love.
Oh, how I love the name.
I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name.
Yeah, it's the sweetest name.
Yes.
The hand of the Lord was upon me.
Ezekiel was a prophet of God, and the people blinded Ezekiel, and Ezekiel could not see. As I look in the Bible, and God dropped him in the valley of the dry bones. People had been destroyed by evil spirits in valley, blind, could not see. He held on God. In the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, God began to question Ezekiel. And Ezekiel in these bones live. Now here's the blind man, but he knows he was in the midst of a valley where everybody was dead in the valley of him. But God, the God of the Holy Ghost, and the anointing of God, God knows he was coming back to say that even I don't have a sight, but I know that you know what to do in order to bring up. So what happened, Ezekiel told God that I know it. The beginning of this morning was blind. Was a prophet of God and was knowledge of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. When you study Ezekiel, he was in the valley of dry bones. Some people, some theologians have said you that he was blind. But in the power of God, he was able to see and they were bringing life back where life had been crucified and died. Now, I want to bring it up on dope, with people on drugs, where people are physically blind and spiritually blind. We have young folks killing their families because they are led by Satan. Wife killing husband. Why? Because of demonic spirits moving across the realm of this nation. But God is still in control. The story of Ezekiel lets us know that God is still healing. See, when God tell you something, man, woman, I'm praying for you, Brother Joe. Lord, I'm praying for you. Please pray for you. If I have a telephone call, I'm praying for you. Mary Scott, I'm praying for you. I'm going to tell you all I will. Leslie White, I'm praying for you. I'm going to pray for you, David White. Pray to let you know that God is still in control and God is doing things. I'm just wondering, can you see what God is saying? My grandmother used to say, God is trying to speak and man want to listen. And I'm telling you this morning, Psalms 24, Psalm 61. The darkness come, the light, the marvelous light. Father, open the eyes your eyes and close in the valley of dry bones. The valley between a low place and somebody to come and dwell. Some of you will never come out by yourself. I see you killing on the flood to my neighbor. All over the universe and over in Israel, over in Russia, and over in Jamaica, violence, man is down. They in the valley of dry bones. They in the valley of mass murder and killing. They in the valley of hate and criminology. Two candidates running. Love. Anybody speaking about the hungry, clothes, the naked, see about poor people. We on the brink, richest country in the world. People starve over Israel because of man violence. Over in Jamaica, in Premier, they fighting. Where all this fighting for? Who is paying for war of hate? The war of hate. I want to get back to Israel in that valley. Look around you and see what's going on in your home, in your school. Now we got measles. A criminal came over to this country. Came over from another country, Korea. One man said, well, I don't want reparation. I want reparation because old is a driving self who made cotton king, who made sugar cane king, who fought in this country, black men. So it's important to understand we're in the valley of dry bones. And God sent Ezekiel to bring us out. But when you listen to what he's saying, I know when you read your Bible, it tells you that he's blind. They didn't want him to see. But he had another sight. He had the sight of the Almighty God, the friend of the Almighty God. Don't forget, if you got a need, plant a seed.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The prophet and the valley of dry bones. Among those who were carried away was a young man by the name of Ezekiel, who had obviously been trained to be a priest. When we study his minute descriptions of the temple order and of the temple liturgy, when we read of his intimate knowledge of things directly or indirectly concerned with Judaism, we must conclude that he had formal training as a priest. Along with the vision that Ezekiel reveals here, along with others that he records in his book, one thing he wanted to convince Israel of, that her God had not fallen, and her God was not dead. He wanted Israel to understand
But how God, as he depicts in the vision where he saw the vague outline of a man sitting upon a chariot throne, engulfed in a cloud, and with priestly functionaries going in and coming out from the mercy seat. He was saying, we told him about wheels that he saw in the middle of wheels, and that these wheels were guarded by angels, and that these wheels had eyes, and that these wheels did not deviate from their course. He was telling Israel first about the overruling providence and power of God, and about Israel was a part of God's eternal plans and purposes. While Israel was one wheel, ever moving, and above that was another wheel, that was the Babylonian wheel. It was moving. And that above that was another wheel, which was God's universal wheel, and God's universal plan. And all of these wheels were moving, because all of God's plans are always moving. Maybe you think you have stopped him. Maybe you think you have blocked him. Maybe you can't see the movement. But God's plans never stand still. You can't bother them and you can't stop them. For the writer here tells us that angels were with God. Say with me, if you please. So, to Israel, we see in this vision, Babylon was a desolate place. Babylon represented a valley to Israel. A valley of depravity. A valley of disfranchisement. A valley of hopelessness. A valley of dry bones. A valley of lifelessness. In one of the great cities of the ancient time, Babylon to Israel was a valley. Someone might marvel, if Babylon was a great city, how could it be regarded by the Israelites as a valley? Well, you see, a city may be one thing to one people, or a country may mean one thing to one people, and altogether another thing to another people. When the white Europeans came to this country, embarked upon these shores, America to them was a land of promise, was a mountaintop of possibility, was a mountaintop of adventure. But to the Negro, when he embarked upon these shores, America to him was a valley. A valley of slavehood. A valley of slavery and oppression. A valley of sorrow. So that often we have to say, one of these days, I'm going to eat at the feast and pray. One of these days, the chariot of God will swing low. I wish I had somebody here praying with me. So that Babylon to Israel was a place of hopelessness. It was a valley of dry bones. A valley of dry bones. Well, the prophet tells us, and considering a prophet, what is a prophet anyway? Since the prophet was God's representative, God's ambassador, God's watchman, there in Babylon. You know, and the word prophet can be interchanged with the word preacher. So a prophet is a preacher. And a preacher ought to be a prophet. Not a prophet such as we are told and talk about sometimes. Not a funny person. Not somebody with their head tied up or selling luck or anything like that. Not that kind of prophet. But I mean a real prophet. A prophet called of God. A prophet born of God. A prophet sent from God. A prophet inspired of God. A prophet is one who knows the past, who understands the present, and out of his knowledge of the past and his insight of the present, he's able to predict the future. A prophet is one who has sight, insight, and foresight. With sight, he looks on things. With insight, he looks into things. With foresight, he looks beyond things. Such a man was Ezekiel. And he uses the symbol of a valley to describe Israel's Babylonian situation. The symbol of a valley. But you see, a valley suggests a low place between mountains. And to Israel, thou art obstructing mountains, surrounding her. Her situation in Babylon. Economic mountain. Social and political mountain. Religious mountain. Encircled and enclosed her in. And she was down there in the stagnant air of a valley in Babylon. So that he said that he was in the spirit. And that gives validity to it, you know. People speak a little bit about the spirit now. But I'm afraid that the church is losing a great deal of its spiritual consciousness. It wasn't unusual for folk to say when I was growing up as a boy, the spirit told me to do certain things. Or I was led by the spirit to do certain things. So that this prophet was a spiritual mind, a spirit-filled, God-conscious prophet. And he said, while being in the spirit, the Lord led him out to the valley. And then led him to the midst of the valley and sat him down in the midst of it. But he was really saying that God led him to the heart of Israel's problem and Israel's situation in Babylon. That's what he was saying. God took him in a thorough-going survey, in a thorough-going analysis and understanding of Israel's Babylonian situation. And when the Lord had led him to the heart of Israel's problem, set him down there, then for fear that way out on the periphery of things, he missed something. Then the Lord led him round and about the valley, or took him and encompassed the valley, circled it on all sides, that he might not miss the remotest problem of Israel's situation. And when the survey was far and complete, the Lord poured the question to him. Son of man. wish you could hear me. Can these bones live? That son of man seemed to be reminiscent of man's limitation. Reminiscent of man's finiteness. Man's humanity. Son of man. Son of man, you are a scholar. You are an educator. Son of man, you are a scientist. Can you bones? Son of man, you are an engineer. Can you bones live? Son of man, you are a heart specialist. Son of man, you are a geologist. You are a botanist. You are a specialist in various stages of the human body. You are a psychologist and psychiatrist. You know all about drives and reactions and responses and tendencies. You know, with all of this knowledge, can you tell me, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Son of man, you found pathways in the air. You have circumvented the earth. Son of man, you found highways upon the sea. And you made your own highways under the sea. Can these bones live? Live of life. Oh, we know a lot of things. We know what the human problems are. We know men are mean. We know men are prejudiced. We know that men are narrow-minded. And we know they are selfish. We know men are unkind, ruthless, and cruel. We know men are murderers and sinful. But what we don't know is what to do about it. Well, we know what the problem is. We've made an analysis of it. We've already diagnosed the case. But what we can't do is write a prescription.
I wish I had somebody here praying with me.
So that the prophet had to say, Lord, thou knowest. Lord, thou knowest. When it comes to the answer of many of life's perplexing problems, when it comes to a solution to these problems, Lord, thou knowest. I submit myself before you. Limited, finite, ignorant and helpless, like dry bones in a valley. And thou knowest. Thou hast.
At this same passage, the 23rd Psalm. And when everything was gone, he and I feasted to my satisfaction. He let me then lay down in a plenty. Green pasture. To green pasture. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
a very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and His goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Well,
the Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes a retrospect back down the list of the past. And began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No, sir.
It had been the Lord.
Amen.
Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on.